Want to highlight a couple of the inserts. We're making Pete and Betty work awful hard stuffing these inserts the last few weeks. We'll double your salary, Betty. I want to direct your attention to the green insert there. Our Christmas party slash dinner is this next Sunday evening, and we need a head count for food. So if you're planning on coming to that, we really need an RSVP ASAP. That's a lot of letters, but anyway, we need that very quickly, and just to let us know. That is, the children will sing for us, and then we will have just some dinner and fellowship, and it's always a good time. So I hope that you can come and be a part of that. And then the red insert coming on December the 13th, Sunday afternoon from 2 to 4, is our Christmas workshop. And if you haven't been a part of that, how many of you have been a part of the Christmas workshop in the past, helping with that? It's fun, isn't it? One of these days, I'm going to convince Carlene that glitter is of the devil. But until I can do that, I'm sure there'll be glitter for everyone. Glitter, man, don't even get me started on that. What it is the children 3 years old through the fifth grade can come and make gifts. They usually make, I think, eight or ten, right, Billy? Something like that? 8 or 10 gifts that they can give to their family members and friends and whatnot. And we need lots of helpers. Carlene has everything set up. She'll have everything. And she'll set you down and show you exactly what to do. She'll have a little sample there, so there's no experience required. Hope that you will be a part of that. And got lots of things going on this Christmas season. I also want to just, if you're a visitor with us this morning, I want to welcome you. I'm glad that you chose to spend your Christmas Advent season, first Advent Sunday with us. And there's a blue card in the seat in front of you. If you would like to register your attendance with us and let us know you were here, we would love to know that you were here. There's a box on there you can check if you'd like to be a part of our email list. We send out a lot of information through email, so really glad that you are here this morning. We're going to start this Advent season with Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Beginning in verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. Now that's important. It's important because it was prophesied that the Messiah would come through the line of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Never is still going on, by the way. Did you know that? Never is still happening. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." I want you to hear that again. Nothing is impossible with God. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to notice here, at this point, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen to the next thing that comes out of her mouth. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Now, notice Mary hasn't said anything to Elizabeth. She just walked into the room and greeted her. And immediately, as Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, she knew exactly the child that Mary was carrying. As soon as the sound of her greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Amen. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to speak in power and authority. Transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm beginning this Advent sermon series, and we're going to call it The First Noel. The First Noel. Now, some of you, does anybody know what Noel? Anybody can tell me what that means? We sing that song. Do we know what it means? What? Jesus is born. It's basically, it's kind of a complicated word to describe, but it's his birth, it's his coming, it's Christmas, it's that first time that God became flesh and made his presence with us. The first Noel, and today, Mary, did you know? Don't you love that old song, Mary, did you know? The subtitle is Overcoming Doubt. You know, I want you to, now this, men, y'all are welcome to listen here, but I'm going to talk to the ladies for just a second. Ladies, you're around 13 years old, and an angel appears to you and says, by the way, you're pregnant, and what the child you're carrying has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. It will be the Son of God, and he will be the King of Kings, and his reign will never end. And then you realize that Jewish tradition, traditionally, shortly after the young ladies reached puberty, they were generally betrothed or engaged to be married, and they would actually sign a covenant with the man that they were pledged to, and there would be a one-year engagement. And any unfaithfulness, even during this engagement, when they signed that covenant of engagement, of betrothal, they were considered married, even though they have not actually had the wedding ceremony. And any unfaithfulness to this covenant was the punishment was death. The Old Testament punishment for unfaithfulness was to be stoned. Now, Mary had been faithful to God, and she'd been faithful to her soon-to-be husband. And then this angel shows up, ladies, and gives her this story that she's to tell everyone. Now, how would you like to explain to your fiancé that? You know, Joseph, I'm pregnant, but it's God's child. What do you think? What do you think? You think that was difficult? You see, how would you like to explain that to Mom and Dad? Well, Mom, Dad, I promise I haven't been unfaithful. I haven't had sex. I haven't done any of those things that I'm not supposed to do. But I'm pregnant. Well, how'd you get pregnant? Well, you know, God, the Holy Spirit. There was this, had to be this time where Mary was scared to death. In fact, it says in the Word that she was greatly troubled as the angel came and gave her this news. You know, we see later in Scripture, and we'll talk about that in the coming weeks, but Joseph ended up having a visitation from an angel as well to explain to him what was going on. But nowhere in Scripture does it talk about mom and dad having any sort of assurance of that, or are the people in the community or any of those sorts of things. Can you imagine Mary, just going to draw water at the well? The looks as she began to show, the looks, the gossip, the whispers. Do you think Mary had doubts? Do you think Mary had doubts? You know, this angel told her some pretty extraordinary things, and I believe that she had doubts. How does that, and as I was thinking about that, do we ever have doubts? Does God ever share something with us that we're like, oh, man, I don't know if you can pull that off, God. I know you're God, but I don't know if you can pull that off. I don't know if you can save that marriage. I don't know if you can deal with these financial problems. I don't know if you can help me to get employed. I don't know that you can help me with the loss of this loved one that I've just experienced. Doubts. So I want us to look at how did Mary overcome her doubts. And as we're thinking about that, I want us to think about it, how much of this applies to our own life. The first thing, Mary overcame her doubt by recognizing she had a Savior. You know, everything else, Mary, in verse 47, she says, "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Now, notice none of this had come to pass. I mean, none of this had, she had just been told what was happening, what was coming. But she immediately acknowledges that God is her Savior, and that acknowledgement determines the rest of her response, how she goes forward. She recognized that she had a Savior. Do we have a Savior? Do you have a Savior? You know, there's times that it's that knowledge that God is God, that God loves us, is all that we can rely on, isn't it? Because faith, and we'll talk more about faith here in just a minute, but faith is Scripture tells us it's being reassured of the things that we hope for, things that haven't happened. So we understand that it started for Mary with that acknowledgement that God was her Savior. Second thing, Mary overcame doubt by recognizing that she was favored by God. Now, you know, I know that there are other denominations that may think differently about Mary than I do, that our denomination does. But I look at Scripture. I look at what did Scripture tell us about Mary. I don't believe that Mary was without sin. I don't believe that. I believe that, you know, Christ was, we can't really fully wrap our mind around this, but we understand through Scripture that Christ was fully man and fully God. All at the same time. He was God made flesh. He was Emmanuel, God with us. Now, but we understand through Scripture that Mary was the humanity piece of Christ. She was the humanity piece of Christ. I believe Mary was like you and I. I believe she struggled. I believe that she had sin in her life. But Scripture tells us that she was favored by God. That God was going to do something special in her and through her. And he also, there's actually two times that he uses that word favored, and they're actually different definitions. In verse 28, "Greetings to you who are highly favored." It's this greeting that the angel had. That time of being favored means that he was bestowing special honor on Mary. He was lifting Mary up and say, "You are highly favored." In verse 30, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." This use of the word favor implies that God found something favorable about Mary's heart. There was something in Mary's heart. Now, again, I believe Scripture indicates to us that Mary was just like every other person except for Christ. She was born into this world. She came into this world contaminated with this condition of sin, but yet God found something favorable in her heart. And because of that, God was going to use her in a mighty way. So the question I think God would ask us, do we understand that we're favored by God? Do we understand that? That God looks upon us with favor. God sees us as his precious child. Now, the problem is with that is we look at ourselves with our own eyes, with the eyes of the world, with the eyes of flesh. We see where we struggle. We know our thoughts. And we look out and we see everybody else and we go, man, if I only had it together like that guy. Did you know that none of us have it together? Did you know that? None of us have it together. We're all fallen creatures. But yet, God found something favorable about Mary's heart. Third thing, Mary overcame doubt by a strong faith. I love this line in verse 38 that Mary says. She says, I'm your servant. May it be to me as you have said. When probably everything in her was wanting to go, no! No! I don't want this. I want normal. I want normal. I'm engaged to this man. I want normal. I don't want, that's a big responsibility. I don't want that. But instead, her response was, in faith, may it be to me as you've said. How about us, church? Has God ever asked you to do something difficult? Have you ever just felt that impression upon your heart to do something difficult? I told this story a while back, a few years ago when it happened, but I was driving down the road one day and there was a young lady, happened to be a black young lady. She was walking down Antley Road, and I drove past her, and she was just walking. She was just out walking, and as I drove by her, I really felt the Lord impress upon my heart, I want you to stop and pray for that lady and tell her that I'm pleased with her. And me being the godly man of faith that I was, I drove by. I drove by and I turned and I'm headed to the mall. And man, I just could not. It was persistent. I just felt like the Lord was just persistently was just saying, I want you to go back and do what I said to do. And I drove all the way to the mall. And it was not leaving. And finally I went, and you know, I didn't say, may it be to me as you have said, Lord. I finally went, okay, fine. That's what I said in my heart. So I turned around and I went back and I saw this lady and I'm thinking, this lady's going to think I'm going to mug her or something, you know. And I pulled over and I walked up to her and she greeted me with a smile. And I said, ma'am, you're going to think this is really odd. But the Lord just prompted me to tell you that he's pleased with you, that he loves you. And she said, oh, well, thank you. And she was just, you know, it's like, hey, no big deal. And so I went on and I said, you know, I passed by and he told me to say that to you and I didn't do it. And I drove all the way to the mall and turned around and came back. And I said, he must really love you. And big tears began to well up in her eyes. And I said, that's all he wanted me to tell you, is that he loves you and he's pleased with you. And she just broke down. And she said, you don't know the kind of weeks I've been having. And her life, she didn't go into all the details, but she said, life is kind of spinning out of control for me right now. And I needed to hear that so much. May it be to me as the Lord has said. What is the Lord asking you to do? What is the Lord asking you to trust him with? It may be a simple thing. That didn't cost me a penny. It just cost me a couple of minutes to stop and tell this lady that. And many of us be going, man, that's kind of embarrassing. I tell you, the payoff was when I saw the tears in her eyes and I knew that God was touching something deep inside of her through simple words. I'm proud of you. I love you. I'm pleased with you. Without faith, it tells us in Hebrews, it is impossible to please God. And faith is not what we have, it's what we trust will be and what we trust is. That's what faith. So many times we feel like it's faith when all is well, when everything's going well and we're healthy and all of our family's healthy and happy and we got plenty of money and we got plenty of friends and we're encouraged and all of these things. That's not faith. Faith is when it's falling apart. Faith is when it's chaos around us and we understand that in the midst of this, God is still God. God still loves me. God is on the throne. God can handle these issues that I'm facing. Mary overcame her doubt by a strong faith. May it be to me as you have said. Fourth thing, Mary overcame doubt by seeing the big picture. Now, I'll tell you, there's not many bigger pictures than what Mary had been promised. That she would be carrying in her womb, she would be the mom of the King of Kings. She saw the big picture. Listen to verse 30, 31 through 33, and this is the big picture she was seeing. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. You think she was a little intimidated by that? We know that she was probably around 13 or 14. She was a young teenage girl. And this angel shows up. You're going to bear a son. He's going to be great. He's going to be the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. She looked beyond. This is going to be hard to tell Joseph. This is going to be hard to tell mom and dad. This is going to be hard to walk around and function in my community when people are seeing me and they know I'm not even married. What are they going to think? What are they going to think about me? But instead, she was focused on, I've got the Son of God. God has chosen me to be his mom. That's big stuff. You know, as I was thinking about that, I was there's an old TV show. It's not a good TV show. I'm not recommending it. It's a movie. I'm not recommending. But there was a movie called There's Something About Mary. You know, I was thinking about this. That Mary realized it's not about Mary. This isn't about Mary. There's something bigger going on here. You know, I know it's a simple thing, and I just use it as an illustration, but that day with that young lady, you know, it wasn't about me. None of that was about me. God wanted to communicate something very specifically to that young lady and just say, you know what? You bless me. That's what he wanted to tell her. You bless me. You're a blessing to me. It's a bigger picture, and it's happening all around us. I want to play that song. There's a video I ran across of this song. I thought it was a really powerful video. I want us to just kind of soak this video in for just a second of this very, very anointed song. If you'll watch this.
Did you know that your baby boy has
Did you know? Yes, she knew. She knew. The angel told her. How about us? Do we know who Jesus is? Do we know what he has accomplished for us? God accomplished his will through a tiny little Jewish girl. He also wants to accomplish his will through you and I. Are we going to say, may it be to me as you have said? What's our answer going to be? Just bow your head with me. Father, we thank you for the courageous faith of a little teenage girl. Father, I'm reminded just even right now that her faithfulness to you cost her something. Father, may we be courageous. May you accomplish your will through us. Because your kingdom will never end. Your kingdom is still going today. You have entrusted your message with us. May we see the big picture. We see that there are hurting people all around us that you just want to bless. Father, we do it in so many different ways, but the people that where you just want to say, I haven't forgotten you. You're precious to me. Show us how to be your ambassadors. Show us how to love on your behalf. As we enter into this Christmas season, God, it's so easy to get distracted. Black Fridays and all of that stuff. Father, help us to remember the precious gift of your Son, Jesus. Without him, we are helpless, hopeless in this broken world. Well up a passion in us, God. A passion for you and a passion for your people. Show us how. Empower us through your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our praise team will come up. This morning, if Jesus is prompting your heart about anything, I will be up front during this closing song. After the service, I'll be up front here. You can come and see me. If you want me to pray with you or anything like that, I'll be here. Let's stand as we close.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a Lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, infinite Father, faithfully loving your own. Here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger.
God has said, go and tell someone. God bless you. We're dismissed.
You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace. Our hearts always hung.